Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Hey everybody, Mark here. This one's a long time coming. In this sidetrack, we talk about our 5 favorite concerts we've ever attended. At least in my case, the 5 best ones I can remember, clearly enough. All right, Nicole, so you wanted to talk about concerts, our favorite concerts. This is something you mentioned this one a long time ago as a sidetrack you wanted to do.
Yes.
And it kind of terrified me because it makes me realize how bad my memory is. Like, I remember iconic moments from concerts I went to when I was younger, especially that really informed my whole musical aesthetic. And I'm like, I don't remember what year that was. I don't remember what club that was at. I don't remember who the opening bands were. And it's sort of just, I don't know.
Yeah. The key to a good concert is your memory does get a little bit fuzzy, but these are concerts that even though they might have been a long time ago, or you don't remember the venue or the opening act, that just there's like a timestamp in your brain of this like flashbulb memory of this like awesome concert experience. So I have 5 concerts that really stand. I have more than 5, but I've picked 5 that really stand out to me. And I'd love to share them with you. Do you have a list ready too?
I've got a list of 5 that have like emerged sort of cohesive enough that I can talk about them from my memory. You go first though.
Okay. And I'll say no particular order.
Same.
I think that one of the best concerts I've ever seen, I'll just say one of the best live acts I've ever seen are the Flaming Lips live. Have you ever seen the Flaming Lips in concert?
I have not. She don't use jelly.
You would lose your mind. They're
really?
so good. And they're so interactive with the crowd. And I saw them for the first time at like the second ever Bonnaroo Festival, which is like a music festival.
That's the one in Tennessee.
In Tennessee. Yeah. And my friends and I took a Greyhound bus down to Tennessee because no one had a car that could get us there. And walked into Bonnaroo from the Greyhound bus stop and saw Flaming Lips there. It must have been 2003, maybe 2004. And it was just like a beautiful experience. And I realized like, oh, this is what live music should be. Like so interactive, so dynamic. And just I was with a really great group of friends. And just like the connection we had in that moment made it like really stand out to me as one of like the best moments in my concert going life.
What are they like as a band live?
They're dynamic, like super engaging. Really high energy. They do a lot of interactive stuff with the crowd. Like they'll bring, if you're there to the concert early, they'll bring you up on stage and you're on stage with them the whole concert in like furry costumes and you just dance on stage.
As one does, at Bonnaroo.
The lead singer will get into like one of those big inflatable balls, you know, those giant inflatable balls.
Like a hamster
kind
ball?
Of, yeah. And like walk on top of the crowd singing. He brings the mic in with them and goes into the crowd. They like drop balloons from the sky, confetti
cannons. The
miracles
of wireless microphones.
It's wild.
That is awesome.
And during COVID, they had concerts and they gave everyone in the audience their own ball. So you were just in your own like cocoon ball, just in a big field, like bouncing around with all these other weirdos. So they're very fun, just pure joy and pure fun. And I was like, this is what concerts should be. It's awesome. So check them out if you can, if you ever get the chance.
Cool.
What's one of yours?
All right. I'm going to kind of jump off of the festival thing.
Sure.
And cop out, though, by saying basically any of the Warped tours I went to from like 97 to 2004 era. The reason I was going to choose a single year, but this is the one that I looked up because I was like, what year did this band play? What year? And I kind of couldn't figure out which year was the year that all of these things in my head happened. And so I'm sort of just saying the cluster of Warped tours in the San Diego, California area between, you know, in high school and college for me. Right. So it's a cop out because it's not any one band, right? But I was very much into the punk and at that point also the third wave ska scene and seeing a lot of those bands for the first time, though honestly, this represents, it's also sort of like a nostalgia for an era when I would go to a show with my friends that was like $6. Yeah. And there would be four bands that are, by modern standards, like nobody bands. But to me, it was like, oh my God, it's the local cool punk band that I can't believe I'm meeting them. And you would see, it was just the best value you could possibly get as a 16-year-old or whatever. And so there's like, on the one hand, there's these bands that I would see that would realize, holy cow, these bands are tremendous musicians. Like bands like Rancid or NoFX, or you've mentioned Real Big Fish in this. Like those guys are so good live, just tight, excellent musicians. That when you hear their frat boy lyrics in their albums, you kind of assume they're just guys. But no, they're like a very well-oiled musical machine. Or, you know, bands that to this day are just iconic bands in my head, like Bad Religion or Less Than Jake or Alkaline Trio. But also, I can remember discovering bands I didn't know. The first time I heard The Rise Against, I don't know if you know them.
No.
Hardcore punk band. Melodic hardcore sort of band. I saw them at a Warped Tour and was just like, oh my God, these guys are amazing. And then, you know, 2 years later, everybody's heard of them, but like they were kind of more indie at that point, right? And so I'm just clumping all those together, whether it's me going to one of my first concerts as a middle teenager or me as a 20 something and my aunt is having me and my brother basically chaperone my cousin who's too young to go alone. Like different sort of different ends of one generation of concerts for me.
Yeah, I went to a lot of festivals. Never the Warped Tour, but I was more the hippie.
You weren't
flavor.
In that crowd, yeah.
No, it's definitely more early Bonnaroo. There was a show Rothbury we went to 1 year in Michigan. The Wormtown Music Festival, which is like a local hippie festival. Just some good core memories there. That I got exposed to a lot of different little bands and also had the opportunity to just check off boxes of like great bands. Like you want to see James Brown, there he is. You want to see Neil Young, there he is, right? And that was a really cool experience.
Totally, yeah.
But my first concert was a very formative experience and super memorable and a great show for a bunch of different reasons. It was around like probably 2000, maybe like 90, actually probably like 99, 2000.
So this is your number two.
This is, well, my second that I'm
your
mentioning.
Your second one. You're not just sneaking one in. This is your second one. Go ahead.
I'm not doing rank order here, but my second concert was Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh. And enough time has passed that I think I can say I went for free because we used to sneak into the Boston Garden to see concerts.
How? By the way, Boston Garden to the youngins or people who moved here recently like me, TD Garden now.
TD Garden now.
Yes.
So they've branded.
The corporate overlords.
I'll have to say that I came up hanging out with a bunch of boys. I was the girl in the group of boys and I was the lookout. I didn't have any, my fingerprints aren't on anything. I was just like there, full disclosure, if you're listening, police. This was also pre 9/11 when you could get away with a lot more stuff in terms of security, right? I mean, we're talking 1999. So what we used to do, like there were fire escape doors, fire exits at the garden that had locks that would go up into the ceiling and into the floor to like bolt them shut.
Sure.
So we would take, we wouldn't, my friends, I was just there.
The criminals. Yeah, you were just observing.
They would take a butter knife and pry the lock down and then put a playing card in so it couldn't go back up.
Yeah.
And you hit that 1, 2, 3, 4 in all the four corners of the doors and then you could pry them open. And after that, Zelda reference. And then after that, it was just a quick sprint off five flights of stairs. And then you were just in. And you're in the garden, like in the mix of all those people. So we saw Clapton for free. We saw this Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young show for free. We went into a DMX show for free, which we did. Usually you go into the crowd and you're just a face in the crowd.
Yeah.
But the DMX show, because of our suburban white demographic, we really did stand out. Like they suspected something when these hippies like come up winded from the fire escape stairs, like huffing and puffing. But it was still a good time. And we just found some seats in the balcony way in the back and just like listened to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And it was awesome. And I was so into them at that moment. And it was just so exciting at this teenage rebellious time that you feel like nothing is ever going to go wrong for you. And it was just a really great show. I was with a really great group of friends that I'm still quite friendly with now. So I'm sure they're listening and remember these moments. I'm not going to mention any names.
You didn't stick out at a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young concert as a bunch of teenagers?
No, because we all had flannel shirts on and we're hippie looking.
You looked like 50-year-olds.
We looked like 50-year-olds, some more than others. You know who you are. So that was another one that just was... It's just a great moment in time and obviously a really great show and great to see them together in a band that I love. So that's it. That's my second notable concert.
My second notable concert. I was weighing between whether I should do kind of my first ever concert or my first ever concert without, you know, chaperoning.
Sure.
But I already covered the ska punk like San Diego scene because it was one of those shows.
Yeah.
Buck 09 and Smash Mouth in probably 90, 97. And I don't think I think Smash Mouth was the opener. That's how long ago that was. I'm going to shout out a concert I went to with my parents. This is not my actual first concert because I know for a fact the Beach Boys, the 80s Beach Boys, like Kokomo Beach Boys, played a San Diego Padres game. So like after the game was over, we stayed and watched a Beach Boys concert, which is I was probably five, but probably when I was middle schooler, we went to see the Gin Blossoms.
Cool.
My parents, despite being boomers, credit to them, were down with some mainstream friendly alternative rock in the 90s. And I don't know, we haven't talked about the Gin Blossoms, but I've always listened to them.
I like them.
Good jangle pop, some great hits that maybe we'll cover. We saw them at one of these places in San Diego that it's called Humphreys. I'm not sure it's still open, but like that overlooks the bay and there'd be people on kayaks and like yachts and stuff, listening to the concert for free, looking in on you and stuff somehow because it was open.
That's cool.
And it was just, I don't know, it made a lot of impression. It's I'm sure it's quite lame to go to a concert with your parents, even when I was 12 or whatever, but I was able to see past that to be like, whoa, this is the first like current band I'm seeing that's relevant. Yeah. And I know they're not exactly the coolest band in the world, but it was good.
Have you taken your kids to a concert yet?
I have. My kids also are the kids of a musician, so they see sometimes shows, but I have, and I will get to one of those shortly.
We just took our daughter to her first concert, and it didn't make the top five list, but it should be in there.
Right.
And it was a Melanie Martinez concert at the TD Bank Garden.
Which is a spectacle, which is pretty awesome.
It's a spectacle.
She'll remember
that
when she has a podcast.
And she loved it, and she didn't feel weird about going with her mom and dad, like, which is, you know... We're on a ticking clock on that one.
That's right. Totally. What do you got?
So another really great concert I went to was, you know the band My Morning Jacket?
I do not.
Oh my, get out.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's your
I
house.
I live here, but cool.
My Morning Jacket's a really, really great band and you should listen to them. Full stop. Very musical, very thoughtful in their composition. But I saw them perform with the Boston Pops, and the Pops was there, which is like the Boston Symphony Orchestra. They have like a pop ensemble, essentially. And the My Morning Jacket played, and the Boston Pops played back them up. And it was lovely because the Symphony Hall is just gorgeous in this beautiful space. And we're seeing this like full symphonic orchestra and this really kind of heady band, and it was cool because the music was beautiful and the environment was beautiful, but the coolest part was that everyone seeing the show didn't like belong in the space. Like the space is very formal and very fancy, and it's a bunch of hippies piling in, and like it stinks like patchouli and people are like drinking PBRs and stuff, and it was just the juxtaposition of that was really cool, and it was beautiful and just sounded so good. And that's just a really great band.
I'm glad to hear that. I always like the idea of those and have been disappointed by times when rock bands or whatever play with orchestra or whatever. Sometimes it's used. Let's talk about that another time, but cool. Sure. I'm glad it worked in that case.
It was beautiful and like a really just lovely experience. It was just me and my husband before he was my husband, and we were just still pretty in love, but very in love in those moments. And it was just like a really great night. And the band was beautiful and the space was beautiful, and it was just so funny to see a bunch of hippies there. So that's another one for me.
news. Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings. And it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You talked about symphony.
Yes.
I'm going to go with a classical music concert. Not actually classical, but we've actually talked about this kind of music. Do you remember minimalism?
Yes.
I don't know. Beep-bop, boop-ops.
That's how I think of it.
You remember, this was spun off of our conversation about Dua Lipa. When I was living in Los Angeles, I went to Disney Hall to see a subset of the LA Philharmonic. Well, it was presented by them, but it was the Bang on a Can All-Stars. And they did, this is 2012, they did a bunch of music by Steve Reich. And specifically, they did this piece called Music for 18 Musicians.
Yeah.
And this is, it's like one of those pieces that lasts like an hour and it's extremely repetitive as all this minimalism is. Check out our episode where I gush a little bit about minimalism. And I think what was so cool about it and why I remember it so well, it was a really great performance, but I felt like free to enjoy it. Maybe we can talk about this another time, but when I was a grad student for all those many years and living in Los Angeles, a town with all this culture, I got kind of overloaded on going to concerts. Like, there were so many performances that I was going to because I felt like I had to. Mm. I felt like, oh, well, I know the bass player. I have to go to see this band. Okay. Or I know the oboe player. I have to go to see this orchestra or whatever. That it was rare that I would just go to, and I was broke. So I wasn't like going to see whatever the hot ticket was at the Staples Center. So, but I remember like just enjoying the show. I like the piece and it's so long and repetitive that I could just kind of chill and go, I love this. I love being here. I love this piece. And I didn't have to feel like I was looking around to go, who's here that I have to say hi to after the show to boost my career.
Right.
And it wasn't expensive. I got like a student ticket because I was still a grad student. And it's just stuck out of all the classical music I've seen in my life. And it's a lot of it. And that's not classical music. It's minimalism. But you know what I mean? It was the most fun because of my state able to escape sort of and not feel like I was a graduate student watching the show, but I was a guy who liked music.
I like get that feeling because I did my undergrad in visual art, like studio art. And for a long time, making art felt like homework to me. Mm. And I remember the first time it didn't and how I was like, I can make this and not show anyone or talk about it and just create just to create something.
Yeah.
And it seems like a similar feeling of liberation almost. And like, oh, this is what I love this. Like this is, I remember I love this.
Couple more, yeah?
Yeah, so for me, that makes me think of the first show I ever went to alone. I like spending time just with myself. Like, I like being alone, generally. I obviously enjoy other people, but I love being alone. And then I realized that I can go to a concert by myself. And when I go to a concert by myself, I don't have to check in with anyone to see if they want to leave or if they want to sit or stand or go get a drink or if they have to do this. I can just do whatever I want to do. And that felt so liberating to me. And that show was Fiona Apple. We talked about her on a previous episode. What I need is a good defense, 'cause I'm feeling like a criminal. And I need to be redeemed to the one I'm sinned against, because he's all I ever knew of love. At a venue in Boston called the Orpheum, that if you're from Boston, you know the Orpheum. It's this iconic venue. I had really great seats, like center of the house, like maybe four or five rows back. And that was just because it was a single seat, which I realized, yeah. Oh, if you just want one
seat,
wherever
you want,
you can get a really good spot. And she was just so riveting. And I always liked her music, but to see her perform it was really inspiring to me because she wears her heart on her sleeve and is very interpretive and just very conceptual in a really interesting way. And an incredibly talented musician. And a lot of her studio stuff is obviously produced in a way to be suitable for the radio. And just to hear her play them at a piano in this beautiful space by myself was lovely. And another thing I loved about that show is no one stood up. Everyone stayed in their seats.
Interesting.
And I love that. I just want to sit and listen to music. And I think when you see shows at the Orpheum and also another show was similar, it was like Damien Rice at the Opera House in Boston, or Sir Hozier at the Wang Center in Boston, and everyone just sits.
Theaters. Yeah.
In theaters, it's a different vibe, and I kind of love it.
You like that juxtaposition.
I like sitting and listening. I don't need to dance anymore.
Were you were never in the pit. You didn't listen to the kind of music.
No, that wasn't it. Like yeah. The lawn at Dave Matthews Band at Great Woods. Like that
right.
was...
Because I have a disjointed, like I saw Bad Religion this year, and I was in seats.
Yeah.
And that, I remember seeing them at Warped Tour in a big mosh pit when I'm 18 years
old. I can't hang.
I
want to like listen to the music and sit and just absorb it.
But I have a disconnect because I associate certain bands with not sitting, right?
Yeah. So, and it inspired me to see more shows alone. And it was at a time in my life that like that was a healthy thing to be doing. So
my next one, you mentioned going with your husband. I saw this band with my wife and who's also a fan. And this is a band I never thought I would have an opportunity to see. So, and I'll explain why in a second, but let me ask you this, like, are there artists that you missed? And I don't mean like, oh, it would have been great to see the Beatles because that would have never been possible anyways, but like an artist you could have seen and you didn't, and you're like, I can't believe I missed them.
I definitely have had a couple of experiences that I have this problem and my friends know. They warn me against it. I get really excited to buy tickets and then the show comes and I'm like just not in the mood to go. And it like ruins music for me a little bit.
Oh,
like
no.
I had tickets to the Beastie Boys that I just didn't go to because I was tired that day.
And now
just,
you can't.
And now I'm like, I'm not gonna. Like it's gone. Maroon 5, I had tickets to see at Fenway and I just like didn't go because I didn't feel like it that day. And like, I should have went. Like I should have went to that show.
I saw Maroon 5 open for Guster, who
oh,
they are
my gosh,
by far bigger.
Wow.
I was ushering my mom's like high school friend who lived in the Bay Area when I was a college student had hookups to be ushers at the Warfield.
That's like my dream summer job as a teacher is to be like an usher at a concert venue.
It wasn't a job. It was like you got to see the show for free. And so I'm like, who are these guys? It was like they were some opener. Then the Usher thing got all selective and I lost that.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay, so Maroon 5, you wish you'd seen?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I saw Sublime with Bradley. I've seen Sublime with Rome.
With Rome, yeah.
Which is fine. It, like, scratches the itch, but it's not the same. And, like, yeah, you can think of, like, Nirvana and people that just aren't here. And Amy Winehouse would have been great.
And some of those
see.
We just, well, I mean, Winehouse, we could have, we didn't really have a realistic chance of ever seeing Nirvana.
Yeah.
I also had Sublime, I was thinking, because, like, definitely was old enough to see Sublime when they first came out. Soundgarden for me.
Yeah.
That was like one of, if not my favorite band when I was early high school and all through high school. I've always loved some of their albums and then I never saw them. They broke up and they got back together and I didn't see them when they got back together. And then Chris Cornell passed. So Moxie Fruvis, a band that maybe I'll talk about, a Canadian band. I just love them. They broke up before I ever heard about them, but I could have seen them. And then Melee. You probably never heard of Melee. Melee is the most indie, like they're a pop rock band, but they're this indie band from Orange County. One of the bands I discovered working for Pandora.
Oh yeah.
Remember how I said
that.
I just find random music? My wife saw them. Her and her friend were like, oh, they're playing. And like, I couldn't go. And then that band ceased to exist and it was gone.
Yeah.
And they were just so good for such a brief period of time. But anyways, I want to talk about a show I went to of Nickel Creek.
Oh,
so
cool.
Nickel Creek, I've mentioned them a few times, sort of progressive acoustic, kind of bluegrassy, amazing trio. And an ear-splitting headache makes it hard to figure out which puzzle they're for. But I can basically went on indefinite hiatus. I was a fan of them, but it was... I was listening to them at the peak of my I'm overwhelmed and broke and I never go to concerts phase.
Yeah.
And then they went on hiatus and it was just gone. And then they started touring again. So I saw them in 2023, really recently.
Wow,
they came to
cool.
Boston. They played at MGM and oh
That's
my God.
That's a great venue too.
It's a good venue. It's like a new
steep.
Venue too.
Yeah.
And like they just sound so, it was everything that I dreamed it
awesome.
Was in my head to finally see, which, and that doesn't, you know, I come from the style of music where it always sounds bad live. You know, as much as I like punk and stuff, it's always yeah. just noise live, rock music, whereas they just sounded so good. All right, one more from you, one more from me.
One more for me is a show I saw recently. I've talked about Hozier a lot on this podcast because I just like him in general. I think he's a great songwriter and a great like rock musician. And in advance of his most recent tour, maybe a year ago, he had a pop-up show at a small club in Boston called The Paradise. And it holds maybe 1,000 people. Like, it's a really small venue. And it was a pop-up show. I was like cruising on a ticket website and like shows near me that I'd like. And it says Hozier at The Paradise. And I was like, that's weird. And tickets were like $40 a piece. So I was like, that's very weird. You'd only get 2 tickets. So I snagged one for me and my good friend. And what he was doing was trying to get his new band like up to speed in advance of their world tour. So it was one of the few shows they were playing together.
Practicing.
Like for, just practicing to like get in sync and to figure out their set list and to like try
songs on the audience.
Try songs on the audience and see like where on stage should the piano player be? Like where should the drummer be? Like how are we going to communicate on stage with each other? I love process. If you've been listening, you'll notice. Like I love the thought behind actions just generally. And I'm a huge fan of his music. And to see them like workshop in real time was really, really interesting to me. And plus, like, it was general admission. The venue was super small. It was really interesting to get into the venue. Like, you had to show ID and then they give you a paper ticket. You had to, like, sign the ticket in front of someone and then show another person your sign. It was so careful.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was such a great, great, great experience. And then later, I had the opportunity to, I've seen them live a couple times and I had the opportunity to see that tour. And I didn't even go to see the tour. I sold my tickets because
like you saw the better version.
I can't top it. And even now, I don't think I could see him again because it's too good. It was just too good.
Well, there's something, you know, so like, I feel like musicians don't get enough opportunities to do that, to like have a safe space to try things anymore. Once you're big, right? You hear of, you know, a random dive stand-up club in New York City that randomly at 1 a.m, someone super famous will show up and say, hey, can I do 15 minutes to try out some new jokes?
Well, that's what it was.
And maybe you're getting like an unpolished package, but you're getting a unique experience that normally when we go to a concert, we're seeing the finished product, that it's so hard to get those experiences. And I think I feel like while a stand-up comic could maybe roll up to a venue, you can't really do that as a band. Be like, I'm just going to show up to this club and get on stage and play a set. They could, but the logistics of
it's too much.
It's just, those opportunities don't exist in us. So it's really lucky for you.
It was so, and I was just with such a good friend and we both love this guy so much. And it was just, it was such a fun time, especially coming out of COVID when you couldn't really see concerts and you didn't really know what they were going to look like again. And as someone that loves seeing live music, I was like, yes, like we're back. And it just, it was just awesome. It was just cool to see them jam and like practice and like try out different iterations of things. It was really, really awesome to observe. So it's in the top five currently, but it changes day to day. So,
all right. So my last one in the top five also comes out of COVID. You mentioned bringing kids to concerts.
Yeah.
I brought my son, who at the time, this was 2022. So he was turning eight or something like that, to see Weird Al.
Oh, you love Weird Al.
I love Weird Al.
We haven't talked about it a little bit.
We talked about Weird Al a little bit. Weird Al came up on our Miley Cyrus episode, famously doing a parody of both Miley Cyrus and of her dad.
Famously.
Billy Ray. Famously. I would say famously. I grew up with Weird Al. I've been a Weird Al fan since I was probably a fourth grader or something like that. And so when my son became older, my daughter still was a little young, but when he became old enough to start to listen to that kind of stuff, I loved just deep diving and playing all the albums and stuff like that. I've seen Weird Al. I saw Weird Al with my brother in the 2000s doing his regular thing where he would dress up in the Michael Jackson costume and do these parodies. Weird Al's paid his dues. He doesn't owe us anything.
No, he doesn't.
His last few tours are what he calls vanity tours, and he only does his original music.
Even think it's kind of cute the way You poison my coffee just a little each day. I still remember the way that you laughed when you pushed me down the elevator shaft.
Oh. Which is interesting.
Which is interesting, but if you are someone who's been a fan since you were a kid, who's a musician who just loves the artistry it takes to make a song that sounds exactly like Devo without being Devo, or to make a song that sounds exactly like The Doors without actually being a Doors song. He parodies artists without parodying songs. And these are none of the famous songs that anybody knows, but he only did those.
That's cool.
I brought my son and he knew all the songs. I knew all the songs. And I wrote down the set list and texted it to my brother, who was all jealous. And it was just like such a great experience because, you know, he's close, maybe a little bit younger than I was when I discovered Weird Al. And it's just like this, you know, Weird Al is the generation above us. And so it's there's just this like generational entertainment that just, it was so wholesome.
And it's cool to see your kids be into the same things you're into.
Right.
I mean, then that's just awesome.
We're bracing ourselves for the inevitable rebellion against that will happen in a couple of years, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I earned a lot of street cred with the Melanie Martinez, but the Weird Al is going to come back around to get you.
There will come a point where Weird Al is the least cool thing to my son and my daughter. And then there will come a later point when they will realize once again, he's very cool. Okay, Nicole, let's do the outro stuff, except it's recitative. Go. Never mind, the music is hosted by me, Mark Poppany, who also produces, and Nicole Vatcher.
I'm not doing that.
Please be sure. All right,
let us know what you think on social media. We're Never Music Pod on all major platforms. You can also email us at nevermusicpod@gmail.com, and every so often we'll do a mailbag episode where we'll answer all of your burning questions.
And please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating and a review. Thanks for listening. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.